Hey folks, if you like listening to Stumble Through, there's now a way you can support the show. Click the link in the show notes to make a once-off donation through the Acast supporter feature. There's no ongoing commitment and you can give as little or as much as you'd like. I love making the podcast and I'd like to keep making it, so even if it's just the price of a coffee, every little bit helps. Thanks so much.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and community. I pay my respects to them and their cultures, and to elders both past and present.
How do you find the time when you can't find pause? A confirmation watch your face is gonna open some doors. You do what you gotta do, stumble through.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Stumble Through, the podcast for young Australian adults trying to figure shit out. I'm your host, Paula Arujo. I'm a writer, theatre creator, and marketer. I am a short, round-faced white woman. I'm wearing this really beautiful scarf that I got from my grandmother when she passed away, and it's very schmancy, and it's silk, and I love it very much. And this week, we are talking about the admin and ethics of dating apps with Maddie and Nick from the What the Fuck is Happening podcast. So I'm really excited about this crossover. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm looking at Nick. I'm like, when's he gonna going to say thank us? You? Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for having us so thank much. You. We're excited to be here.
We are.
Thank you so much for joining me. Did you want to introduce yourselves for the lovely listeners?
Okay, I'll go first. I'm Maddie. I run a small studio in Brisbane called Harness Creation. It's my baby, a content creation studio. And that's basically my entire personality. So,
as with most business owners, yes, especially small business owners, business is me. I am the business. Do not ask me personal questions. I don't know how I like my coffee. I know where the cable is.
God, that is accurate.
I'm Nick, and I don't know what I am. I have this podcast with Maddie, and we do a lot of fun things on it.
Yeah, and you are a pop culture aficionado, and you and Maddie discuss pop culture in a way which also draws out thematic stories from across time and space.
I love that.
It's such a Doctor Who explanation of it. I love it.
You guys talk about pop culture, but you also relate it to what's currently happening and then what was going on when they made it and then the stories behind it and how that sort of creates together, because obviously pop culture is also a big commentary on society and the culture that we live in. Don't sell yourself short. You deal with all of the stuff for the podcast. Yeah.
My brain is a walking entertainment industry almanac.
I love that.
I'm using so many big words today.
You really are.
fancy. So firstly, would you guys be comfortable? I'm just giving a small description of yourselves for the people who are listening or watching, because this is recorded. How exciting. Yeah, for our low vision or blind community members, people.
Okay, all right. I would say that I don't know how tall I am. I'm on average height. I have long hair, brown eyes, a beautiful smile.
Yeah, dimples. You do.
I'm wearing a cute little green skirt and a gorgeous, in my opinion, woolen black top.
I love it. It's very tennis, all-American college grad thing.
It's kind of giving those vibes, isn't it?
It's the same one from our cover photo. How cute.
Oh, it is too. Ooh, there you go.
Continuity. We love it.
Exactly. Usually I'm the one who's wearing the same clothes every week. I am Nick. I'm a male. I would also say pretty average height. I have short, dark hair, white, and I'm large. I'm chubby.
Cool.
And beautiful.
And beautiful.
We got to get the beautiful in there.
Absolutely. No one leaves this studio without calling themselves beautiful.
I agree.
This is a rule.
Yes, definitely. Body positivity all the way.
Yes. Awesome. So have you guys stumbled through anything this week?
Would you like to start, Nick?
Sure. this week I've stumbled through having a viral TikTok.
Like, oh, that's right.
What?
An actual viral, like, I don't know how many views now, like over 3 million views.
Oh my goodness. I think it's 3.4 I checked this morning.
Fair. Amazing.
Whenever we post, one of the other people posts something. If I post something, I never check up on it. Mm. If she posts something, she never checks up on it, but we will always be checking on each other's.
Yeah, we're each other's hype.
I'm like, oh my God, bitch, you just got a new like on your video. How iconic.
I love that though, because it's like a really healthy way to manage, like, oh, it didn't do well or it did do well. The creator can focus on the creating. The other person is just like, oh, this did really well for you. Have you considered doing that again? Yeah.
Literally, after this video went viral, I texted Nick. I was like, okay, this is what you're doing now. This is what your channel is.
And I say I stumbled through this because I keep flip-flopping between ultra confidence of being like, yes, this is everything. I'm an icon. I deserve this. I'm hilarious. I love it. And then the other half of the time, it's like, this is too much attention.
Mm.
I feel out of place, imposter syndrome, fish out of water.
Yeah.
And I'm just like between the two constantly.
Yeah. It's like vacillating wildly between, oh my God, yes, I am that bitch.
Exactly.
And oh my God, please don't look at me.
Exactly. And I feel like that also kind of encapsulates my personality pretty well.
Fair. You know? Very fair.
Look, that's me.
Social
in, like,
media fame.
That's me in like most dating situations, honestly. I vacillate wildly between, oh my God, like what would they see in me? I don't know. Mm. Like they are smart and funny and kind and ambitious and look at all the things that they've done. What do they see in me?
Yeah.
And oh my God.
Literally.
What fool would not text me back immediately?
Literally.
Like, what do you mean you're going to make me wait for a second?
I love that. I am the moment.
I'm not just the moment. I'm like the moment, the vibe. I am everything.
I love that.
I love it. This podcast is so much more wholesome than ours. I love it.
What did I stumble through this week? Okay, I stumbled through the same thing that I do every week, which is marketing the business. Like that's such as we said before, the business is my whole personality. But yeah, no, I'm was new to the world of marketing coming into the business, and so I'm still trying to like figure out the best way to do it while putting the least amount of my time in, if that makes sense. Yeah,
100%. I think that people really underestimate how much time and attention and like content creation goes into marketing anything.
Yes.
And it's just
much.
Like, there's a reason why you have a marketing department
within
businesses, you know?
Oh, I want one so bad.
I mean, hey, I can introduce you to some people who can help you with such things.
Oh, I mean, we'll have to talk afterwards.
I feel like it's especially hard for you with marketing because of the nature of the business you own, which is like a content creation place.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be constantly up to date with the trends.
Yeah.
Like the TikTok trends and the videos you've got to make and like the sounds that are going viral, that kind of thing.
It's a lot because there's not just that, but then there's also the side of like actually trying to teach people what this place is because it's not really a concept that exists. So,
yeah. I suppose that's the thing. Like, marketing is always partially educating your audience and proving your value, but also showing them, like, what it is you do. But for some people, it's much harder than others. Like,
a
clothing brand is like, hey, we sell things to cover your body with.
Yeah. That's that.
Surprise.
And then still people will be like, a towel?
How dare they? Goodness.
So the first question I have for you today is, what are the three pettiest reasons you have rejected people on dating apps? Now, Maddie, I understand you haven't used them before.
No.
Yeah, so that's fine. Nick and I will answer, and you can be the arbiter of whether it's legit or ridiculous.
Love that. Okay. All the power is in my hands. It's perfect.
I love it.
Okay, well, my first one, I have absolutely swiped left on...
Left is no, right?
Left is
no.
A rejection.
Sorry,
okay,
yes. Cool. Yeah. I've absolutely swiped left on someone because of the music, their top 10 Spotify songs.
Mm. That's fair.
Yeah.
I think that music is a far more valuable like litmus test than we give it credit for.
Yeah.
Mm. I actually use One Direction as my litmus test. And it's like, I obviously love them. And I don't care about whether that person loves them, but I care about their reaction when I say I love them. Because if they go, oh my God, One Direction, that's for like 13-year-old girls, I'm immediately like, okay, you have absolutely no respect for what people do and don't like.
Yeah, see, you're for out. Me, I call that the Twilight test.
Mm. Yeah, fair.
If the person's like, but it's not cinema with a capital C.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you just don't like fun.
It's like, okay, so what you're telling me is that you don't engage with things that you don't like on a critical level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. What I'm hearing is you're an asshole and a snob.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much. Yep.
Oh, fair. All right. So my first reason, I have rejected someone because all of their photos are drinking related. Like in every single photo, there's been like a beer, or they've clearly been out at a bar, or they've been like day drinking. And don't get me wrong, like I have no problem with any one of those things. Mm. But I got the ick because I was like, oh, is this your entire personality?
Yeah.
Is this all that you do for fun? Yeah. Are you an alcoholic?
Mm. Yeah. Fair. I've never thought about it before, but I feel like that is a fair reason, personally.
No, I think that's completely fair. It's like when straight guys have just photos of them holding up fish in their profile pictures. And it's like, okay, so we know what your entire personality is.
Yeah, it's true. Because like the argument can be made, it's like, oh, maybe they just don't get pictures taken of them at any other time.
Yeah.
I've heard that before and it's like, that's fair, but also,
why would this, for a dating profile, go to more effort?
I agree.
Yeah, like you can go out and just take some purpose-specific photos.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can.
If you're at a bar or something, go to the corner where there's like a plant.
Yeah.
You know? That's true. You could literally be at a rooftop bar and just have a photo of you in the sunset.
Literally.
Yeah. Like,
it's true.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Do you have a second one?
I do. Piggybacking off that.
I prefer piggybacking, if I'm honest. Yeah.
That sounds somewhat dirty, but I don't know how.
Oh, see, I thought of biscuits.
Same.
I thought this was...
Piggybicky?
Yeah.
Bless. Oh, my God. Did we just... Arnett's hit us up. My piggybick off that, and now I just sound Kiwi.
Oh, God.
I'm offending too many people at once, is similar in that if they're just doing too much... And I don't mean like they're extra.
If their life is together.
Not even that. It's more like if they're like constantly, all of their photos are just, like you say, out at bars or out in a club, or if it looks like they always have to be doing something, I'm not into that because I cherish those quiet moments. And I need someone who's going to be able to, like, vibe with that.
I understand where that's coming from, but I'm going to put that in an unfair category.
Okay.
Specifically because, again, getting photos just with the sunset, that's fair. But can you really expect people to be just taking photos of themselves in bed?
Oh, I didn't say that.
Well, you know what I mean.
I suppose I understand where you're coming from. So it's like, well, in those quiet moments, like, what do you take a photo of? Do you take a photo of you, like... with your breakfast at 5 a.m.
Exactly.
I understand, but I'm on Nick's side with this because if you don't see something on that app which says we are compatible, then it's like, well, what do you have to go off?
I mean, that's really fair.
And I guess I'm more specifically talking if there's a photo of you outdoors or something, you know.
Hiking.
Love it. No. If you're hiking, swipe left.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's an activity. I need to be able to know that you can exist in a space without having to do stuff.
Yeah. That's fair. And they're like, there's not much to go on.
So outdoor photos, they're in. Mm-hmm. Hiking photos, they're out.
Interesting. I like it.
Look, I never said I was a reasonable person, okay?
Look, we're not here to be reasonable. This is literally a list of the pettiest reasons we've said no. Yes. Speaking of, my next one is they liked the wrong photo of me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Is this talking like specifically like Bumble?
No, so this is, I prefer Hinge. I've been on Bumble like once or twice. Yeah.
Hinge
so
is the one where you can like their answers to stuff and everything,
Yeah. Bumble, you can like specific photos though, apparently. No, actually, yes, I think that was the last time I was on it. I think that was a thing, but whatever. Anyway, yes, I set traps on my profile.
That's so fucking funny.
100%. I'm like, okay, so this is a little bit off brand, but you know, I'll put a photo of me looking a little bit, you know, a little bit sexy, a little bit, you
love
know.
That.
Like, I am a slightly sexy grandma, you know? Like, that's what this is. I'm 85 at heart, and I'm waiting for my outsides to match my insides. But, you know, I put a photo of me looking a little bit sexy. Looking a little bit shapely, looking fine. And, you know, that photo is specific there to weed out the people who are only interested in hump and bumps, you know? Like, I'm not...
That's iconic.
I think that's iconic. Fair. And in the words of Kris Jenner... this is a case for the FBI. That's so fucking funny. I love it. 11 out of 10.
Is it if they like only that photo or if they like that photo and a combination of others, is it acceptable?
You can only like one.
You can only like one and then you have to chat.
Yeah. Or you can just like the photo and not say anything, which is what they do most of the time.
Ew.
Very few of the straight men that I have matched with. Most of them that I've matched with probably send an opening line. Very few people who like my profile or whatever leave a comment. And most of the time, if they do like that photo, like, I'll show it to you. It's not even, like, you know, that daring or anything. Mm. It's just a little bit different to the rest of the stuff that I put up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, if they don't say anything, then it's a no automatically. And if they say something, it's almost always something gross and lewd. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm so fine.
We're out.
Yeah, exactly.
I never have understood the concept behind that because I was like, what did guys expect girls to say to that? Like, what do you think is going to happen in this interaction?
It's also in the title. It's a dating app.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, I mean, that's probably a whole other conversation. But
I think it's this one.
See, that's iconic.
I love that. That's great.
That outfit is everything.
It is.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. You know, it's not super sexy. Like, everything is covered. There are just shadowy bits and more see-throughy bits, you know? But I'm not about to put this photo on the internet for everyone, so I'm trying to give a sort of vibe description.
Love that.
I think that's not petty at all.
I don't think that's petty either.
I think that's iconic.
I think it is also iconic.
Trapping and baiting, 11 out of 10.
It's really true. And it's because it's not even malicious. It's just like I have this one sexier photo among them. And if that's the one that's your liking.
It's not malicious, but it is a little like a game of Minesweeper.
Yeah.
You click on the wrong one and
Game over.
I love it.
It's like me playing battleships against every cis man on the internet.
I love it. Iconic. It's what they deserve.
Do you have a last one to share?
I did, and that was if in their interests, their like likes and stuff, they put like a movie or a singer who's problematic. I just have a real hard time. I know it's a bad trait of mine, but I have a really hard time separating art from the artist. So then like,
well, that's a whole conversation in and of itself.
Yeah, we've talked about it a few times on our pod, and I can if I have to, but I don't like to. But, like, yeah, if there's, like, a singer or someone on there, it's, like, icky.
Yeah.
I'm, like,
It's also because it's one of your main interests and skill sets and areas of knowledge, so it's a bit more important for you than it might be for someone else.
That's fair.
I feel like that is really fair, specifically because I think once you get to know somebody and you know their personality and you know their actual thoughts on a topic, it's easier to be able to understand why they like something. But to put something that's
out there
problematic right on your profile, it's a bit like, okay, well, what?
I think I'm thinking it's petty and unfair because IRL in real life with friends and family, I don't care. If you can separate art from artist, I think that's iconic. It means you're not starving yourself of things that bring you enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. And I'm not going to like judge you for that.
Yeah.
But when it's like the sit behind the safety of anonymity, I'm like, yeah, goodbye.
Well, this is why we're having this whole like discussion, though. It's because like of that interplay between, on the one hand, this is all we have to go off. So we literally have to judge them by whatever they put out there. And on the other hand, it's like, okay, well, is that ethically, morally fair, realistically? Yeah. And
Are we going to get into that discussion now? Because I have thoughts.
I want to hear Paula's last.
I have one last one. I hope that you guys will like me after this. I'm not sure if you will.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I reject people if their entire profile points to the fact that they think that liking dogs is a personality trait. Like, I like dogs too, but it's not a personality trait.
Is it specifically dogs or is it all pets?
I think it's specifically dogs because that's so generic. Because if someone is like has a special interest in crows or something, then I'm like, okay, you know what? You have gone in and you like that. You probably know lots of facts. If someone says, oh, you know, yeah, I just really love dogs and that's their entire personality, I'm like, that is such a cop-out. You haven't engaged with that on a critical or factual level. Yeah. You've just been like, Chicks dig dogs, bro.
Iconic.
Sorry, that is my imitation of like
straight man.
Yeah, of a very like cishet. I am only here for like the sex straight men.
Fair.
Like that.
I love it. Fair. Okay, before you decide if that's petty or not,
okay,
I'm gonna jump in and say,
as a dog owner, I'm offended.
No, I was gonna say, I in my cynical little brain, I'm kind of the same. With like any pets or whatever, or one specific thing, you're using this to cover up a bad personality or to hide what your personality actually is. So I think that it's perfectly reasonable. Distrust.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time, obviously, no time on dating apps, so it's really difficult to tell. But like in a real life situation, I really like it when guys are into animals and pets, because I'm like, okay, this means they can take care of something that's not just themselves. You know, there's like some kind of higher level of functioning going on there. But I can totally understand on like a dating app, which is designed to lure people in, that it's more of a game. Yeah. So I'm going to say fair as well.
Yay. Okay. I think we've passed.
You have. Nicholas, you were, you know, touch and go there on one point, but.
I'm good with that.
Hello, folks. I'm just popping in to let you know that Stumble Through is now hosted on Acast. It's really exciting, and it means that you're going to be hearing some ads on Stumble Through from now on. The ads do help me keep the podcast going, and you can help me and Stumble Through if you wanted to make a once-off donation. You can support the podcast through the Support the Podcast feature. It's just a little link in the show notes, and you can make a once-off donation. There's no minimum spend, no strings attached. It's kind of like you're throwing me a coffee once in a while, and that would be amazing. So if you want to support Stumble Through, click on the Support the Podcast link in the show notes. All right, back to the episode. Hope you enjoy.
So now we're probably going to get into discussion around more of the ethics of this whole judging thing, which is, you know, judging a book by its cover versus protecting your time and space. Mm-hmm. Where do you think the line is when we consciously construct a dating profile? And I want to say that when it's on Hinge, like, this isn't a fun little 5-minute thing, you know? You have got 8 photos and 8 questions to choose and then answer. And then sometimes you do a voice note and, like, you can, leave a caption on the photo as well. So it's...
Yeah, and then you have to perform, like, a 5-minute long monologue, get your solicitor, check it.
Jesus. It's like a will.
No, but legit, Hinge is a lot more...
Unhinged?
Unhinged.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why I prefer to go on it, because, you know, when I'm on a dating app, I am looking for possibilities, not necessarily like I want a relationship now, but it's like I want the possibility that something more is there.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if I just wanted to go and hook up with people, I would go on Tinder or something.
Yeah.
Like
that's, you know?
Yeah, that's really fair. That's really fair.
Yeah, and I think also Hinge has, I don't know, hundreds of prompts for questions you then have to answer for your profile.
Mm.
And I think that that's also really good. I think that's definitely why it's one of the better apps for dating, because it actually forces people to be like...
Thoughtful
and kind of more open about their personality. I don't know. It definitely feels less surface level than, Tinders and Bumbles and stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like... So the question's about...
Like, where is the line
between... Yeah.
Are we judging people unfairly by what we can see, or are we taking what they have given us and just going, you know what, from what information you have given me, I'm making this decision. That's fine, because I don't have time to give everyone a chance. Like,
yeah.
It's just the ad. It's another inbox to clear, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like just because of the nature of them, like, that's what you get into, really. If you're signing up for a dating app, you know that you're providing this bio and that's what everyone else has to go off, and it's the same. That's how you're trying to find people. So I feel like...
That's really fair. You are treating people the same way they're treating you on the apps.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
to a degree.
Yeah. You kind of know what you're getting into. So I think it's really fair to be protecting your time and to be able to judge someone based off of what they've put in their profile. I mean, on the other hand, it's also very difficult to actually know somebody just based on that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to know anybody completely
Do we truly know?
Exactly.
Is it like any different to meeting someone at a bar and having a drunken conversation with them for like 2 minutes?
It's true. Yeah. Oh, you can't tell anyone there either.
I don't know about you, but it sometimes feels more judgy when I do it on an app or online though, because there's mm-hmm. that almost veil of anonymity. Like, if I make that decision about someone in person, there's also that, like, intangible vibe that you get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And sometimes you're just like, no, absolutely not. Please eject.
Yeah, for sure.
I totally agree. On the one hand, I think base level, I think it's totally fine to judge a book by its cover in this specific instance. But then I also feel guilty whenever I'm swiping through. And I also think, is it ultimately bad for, like, the dating experience?
Yeah.
To be, like you say, gamifying and making everything surface level?
Yeah, because it feels like we go to all this effort to create a profile which isn't so surface level and to at least, you know, put forward a version of ourselves, you know, the one that we want to present to people. But that is a construction and that is calculated and that is a conscious, like, it's an image that we're making. We're doing our own marketing.
Yeah.
Personal branding, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also like, well, what happens to giving people the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah.
Like, what happens when you see someone that... Let's say it's not an automatic no. It's the ones that I really struggle with. I don't know about you, Nick, but the ones that I really struggle with is it when it's like on the fence and you're like, oh, maybe, I don't know. Like, from these pictures, I guess we might have stuff in common. From these answers, maybe, but and it's like.
I mean, it feels shitty to say, but even if you're just, if you're like, all the answers are like 11 out of 10 and then you're just not vibing with physically them.
Yeah, and this is the thing, like, here's an interesting question, I guess, totally off topic, well, not really, but off script. How do you feel about judging people? Like, we make snap judgments of people and our attraction to them on physical stuff, and then we also do it on the, like, emotional and intellectual stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel way more comfortable making these snap judgments about things that people have said or state that they believe or something than I do about their looks, which doesn't really make a whole heap of sense because that's me not wanting to critically engage with whatever they said. So I'm like, no.
Yeah. I mean...
Is it just because it feels more shallow to judge someone by the way that they look and more socially acceptable to be like, they said this and I don't like it?
I think it's very much that. But when you, like, look at a profile, except maybe Hinge... It's always the photos that are, like, the number one thing.
Yeah.
Like, they take up the majority of the screen. That's the whole thing. I mean, especially on, like, Tinder where it's basically just photos, you know?
Iconic.
I mean, not even talking about Grindr and stuff where it's literally just photos.
Iconic.
I don't think you should feel guilty is what I'm saying.
I definitely don't think you should either, but I also feel like that's one of those things where it almost kind of, there's kind of two things to it because it depends on what they've said. Because if they've said something that you genuinely, like if the One Direction thing, for example, it's such a fucking stupid reason to not want to talk to somebody, but also I'm like, it's valid, you know? But then on the other hand, it's like, are you just making an excuse to not talk to this person, in which case you probably weren't really vibing with them anyway? You know?
Yeah.
So kind of like no matter what way you slice it, it's valid.
I'm genuinely sorry. I'm kind of zoned out and that's because all I can think of is boomers saying that millennials destroyed the dating industry. And I don't know why that's all I can think of, but...
How did we destroy the dating industry? What did we do?
They never said that. That's the thing. I'm thinking of is like an Onion headline.
Okay.
It's like dating apps have ruined it and it's millennials' fault and dating industry is not a thing. But that's all I could think of. So I'm sorry. I'm back in.
Now you've spoken it.
Yeah, now that I had to get it out.
I think that's a valid point. No, that actually sort of linked to the next question I have for you. So I'll read out the next question, but then we should talk about what you've just brought up because that does make sense. So next question I have for you is, so we know that dating apps are gamified. Mm-hmm. Do you think that encourages us to dehumanize the people on them or develop an understanding that romantic rejection isn't as personal as it feels?
See, I really like this question.
Mm. Thank you. I made it myself.
I think that every single person is going to have a different perspective on this.
Yeah.
You know, in real life, I'm someone who takes everything personally.
Mm.
I'm like, I know it sounds like they meant it this way, but trust me, they meant it in a much more malicious way. Then when it comes to dating apps and stuff, I'm kind of like desensitized. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think with the experience, I mean, it depends on how deep you get into it. Because if you've been talking for like 7 weeks, you've gone on dates and then they just ghost you. Like, obviously, it's very difficult not to take that personally. But if you're just talking about swiping on a profile, like, how do you even know?
Yeah, like, I guess I'm
the swiped person even though, yeah.
That's the thing is, I guess I'm thinking specifically of when you're rejecting someone on these apps. It's like, they will know, because if they swipe right on you and you never match, then it's like, no one ever matches with me.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, wait, who can keep track of that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm just like, yeah, someone has to be like a ridiculously memorable human being for me to remember that I've like swiped right on them on a dating app. Like that's a next level of like you've made an impression.
I'm just thinking of people who don't get any matches.
Oh, for sure. I think that there's a difference between like, you know, if you don't feel like you're getting any matches, if you're someone on a dating app who isn't getting any matches, please take it as feedback on your marketing, not you as a person.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good way to put it.
Which it kind of links back into the question, or maybe it's the previous question, about being like, if we're purposefully constructing it. Like,
yeah.
I had an online relationship with a guy for like more than a year, and I remember this one conversation we had really clearly where we were talking about whether or not we would actually like, in real life, have a relationship. And we was at this point, again, it had been more than a year that we'd been talking, so we were quite familiar with each other. And this conversation, and he was like, look, I mean, the thing is, it's really difficult for us, because he doesn't live here in Queensland, so it was like a proper kind of, this would be very much uprooting one or both of our lives. So we were kind of like, look, it's really difficult to make that decision, because when it's a texting relationship, there are parts of yourself that you can very, very easily censor. Like if you're in a bad mood, you just text and be like, I'm in a bad mood today. I don't want to talk. Mm. And that's kind of that. So that he was never exposed to the worst parts of me. Likewise, right. I was never exposed to the worst parts of him because...
Knowingly.
Yeah. We both, obviously, we wanted to be the best for each other, you know? So it's really, really easy to do in that situation. And again, we'd been talking for more than a year. So I can only imagine like...
Interesting.
When you're constructing a dating profile, it's like 30 seconds of seeing someone. You're only seeing what they want you to see, the best parts of you, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's also true even past just swiping right and left. If you end up having a text conversation with one of these people that you match with on these apps and it only lasts a few days or whatever, it leaks into that as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Even though it might not be, like it might be a 2-day thing and then you forget about it, it's still...
Unrelated, but sort of related. You know, when it's like only a 2-day sort of conversation, or it's like, you know, you sort of talk on and off for a week and then you act. Has anyone accidentally ghosted someone? Because I've done that so often. Where it's like, and it's not like I, you know, go, oh, I'm not going to respond to them, or okay, I'm done with you now. A lot of the time it's just, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to respond to that. And then I keep the app open because I'm like, okay, I need to do that. I cannot forget to do that. And then days pass, things happen, and I'm like, oh, that's probably for the best anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Conscious uncoupling.
Well, because I feel like that requires you to like have had something before. So often I wonder if we conflate ghosting with just deciding at the early stages this isn't for them.
Like, they also didn't follow up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kind of a different situation. I make a lot of friends online, like just in general, both through the business or whatever fandom. If I'm texting with someone, and then for some reason, usually they've never done anything wrong. And I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like replying. And then I don't reply for several days. That usually to me is an indication of being like, okay, well, obviously I wasn't really kind of vibing with this person, because I know that if I am vibing with someone, I will make the effort to talk to them
and you'll be
no matter what.
On the responses.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there are very few occasions where it's like you'll... Honestly, depends on the context, obviously. You know, like I have a friend, one of my oldest friends. We haven't seen each other in person for going on like 10 years now. And yeah, well, because I immigrated here. And so, you know, she was in South Africa and now she's in London. And, you know, like we haven't seen each other for a very, very long time.
Mm.
And we will go like weeks at a time without talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's different worlds.
Yeah. Almost. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I would say that when it comes to dating, if they like you, you will know. And if you're not sure, then it's a no. Like, no matter what, just...
It's true. And that doesn't,
if he wanted to, he would.
Yeah. And that doesn't have to be a personal thing. Sometimes it genuinely just is, we're just not two people that vibe.
Yeah. Or it's just like, it is way more to do with them than it does for you. Like sometimes they're going through a rough time, or they're just like, you know what, this is not a priority for me.
And
that's not like, it doesn't say anything about you. That just says something about where they're at.
Yeah. It's fair. It's really true.
Fair. No, I was thinking, yes, I don't know. It's interesting thinking about like accidental ghosting and stuff.
Yeah. Well, because I feel like, again, people take it so much to heart, but it also really depends on like the conversations that you've been having up until that point and how long you've been having them for.
See, but I'm also a believer that if your texting styles don't mesh, then it's not going to work.
That's really fair.
Because like,
can you explain that? I'm not sure I understand.
If I'm talking to someone on one of these apps and they use too many full stops or it sounds too blunt or whatever, I'm like, you need to throw in a question mark, an exclamation point. I need capitals. I need something to give me a vibe of tone.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm thinking everything's angry.
That's really fair. I really get pissed off when people do like one full paragraph, no grammar at all. I'm like, I'm out.
Send it in multiple texts or something. I know that that's very specific to me.
No, I'm with it.
But like if it's not going to match, and if we struck up an actual in-person physical relationship,
yeah,
and the entire time that I'm not with them and I'm texting them, I think they're mad at me.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. That's fair. I think it's a good indication. And that's tying back to you saying, like, you can tell if they're into you, they're into you.
Yeah.
Also, side note, I've absolutely accidentally ghosted people and absolutely purposefully ghosted people.
Yeah. I guess, you know, taking it back to that thing of, do you feel like dating apps help us to learn how to take things a little bit less personally? Because, I mean, you mentioned before that you feel like you take things really personally. However, with dating apps, it feels different. You don't really do it there?
This might be TMI. I feel like, yes, in dating app ways, in the dating app sphere,
world.
I don't know what to call it, world, I'm more desensitized. But I think that has a lot to do with being gay, where in the gay community, no matter how much it sucks, a lot is based on physical appearance. So then there's stuff like Grindr and all that. And I think that I've just, you know, dealt with enough of shitty people commenting about appearances or their profiles being shitty about appearances or saying, you know, no black people and stuff. It's like, oh, it's disgusting.
Who are the people out here, like, who are, like...
No fats, no femmes, no Asians.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no. It's all that kind of stuff. And I think that in a way, has desensitized me across all dating apps and stuff. I don't know.
I wonder if the reason why we are... So if you feel desensitized, do you feel like, A, it's because you've seen it a lot, and B, because you know it's not necessarily directed at you, Nick, specifically. It's this person being like, hello, world! I am an asshole, but
I need attention, and I need people to know it. Yeah, I think that, as a mix of both. I mean, I've showed you messages I've gotten on dating apps and Grindr and stuff before, and it's like, hey, you fat piece of shit.
Oh, my God!
A picture of their penis. And I was like, what's the vibe here? You know, what's the vibe?
Like, if they want that kind of, you know, stuff to get off on, it's like, okay, well, you could let me know that you
would
say mean things to me. Uh-huh. Like,
I'm not against it. I'm open to a lot of things. I just need to know.
Exactly. Yeah, like, look, if we want to create an environment where, you know, if you get turned on by, I don't know, saying, being aggressive and stuff in bed, you know, people enjoy that. Like, some people, that's their kink. Fine, but like you can't just bring that out of nowhere without context.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
sure.
A whole other conversation is consent on dating apps and stuff.
Yes, this is a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting.
I feel like for me, but I've spent like collectively in my whole life about 3 nights on dating apps, all 3 of which I'm pretty sure I was drunk. Pretty sure.
Makes it more fun sometimes.
Yeah. And I feel like for me, I would not expect people to treat me differently to the way that I treat them. And I generally like to think of myself as a pretty good human. So if I go, I'm extremely comfortable with gamifying this and swiping just left, 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 not finding anyone, then I feel like it's only fair for me to expect other people to do that to me.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I feel like I would be / am, have been in the past, desensitized to the potential kind of like rejection of it. But again, I never really have gotten more than a few, more than like past a night talking to somebody on a dating app specifically.
Yeah.
And I guess perhaps we don't dehumanize people on dating apps with the gamification. Perhaps it doesn't even factor in because we're like, okay, the game is we create a profile, we create an avatar.
Yeah.
We go out into this internet realm and we interact in these ways. And that's everyone, you know, sort of doing it that way. We're not necessarily doing it in a way which rejects or negates or X's out or something someone's humanity. We're just like,
right, yeah.
Because we're like, no, you're a person and this is just like not for me, you know?
Yeah.
Unless people are being like horrible and sending like horrible messages and stuff. In which case, like, don't.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's just all around. Don't do that. They should be ashamed of themselves. My God.
I mean, literally. I think the gamifying and all that, it all also comes back to consent. Everyone who downloads these apps and stuff is consenting to quote unquote playing this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's almost like those apps should have like an introduction. Yeah. Like an introduction video.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, do you remember back in the day where you download like, or you wouldn't even download it, you would get a new piece of software in a DVD box, right?
Yes.
And the first thing that would happen is you'd load it up and then there would be like a video or like a tutorial thing where they'd show you, you click this to do this. This is how you do this.
Yeah.
To get the most out of this, use this.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't dating apps have Clippy?
Iconic.
I mean, I guess they do to a certain extent. Now they're creating these resources. Like Bumble has got stuff that's like ghosting and when it's okay, or like being safe in online dating apps and things.
Yeah, interesting.
Which I think is useful, but maybe we just need to have an older sibling style video when you download the app.
Yeah,
probably. I'd agree. I'm like, what, I've had TikTok for like over 12 months. I'm still trying to figure out TikTok. I'm like 24. I'm not old. I know technology and I still have no idea what I'm doing.
Mm.
So like,
iconic.
Why shouldn't apps give us actual explanations of what to do?
See, but when they do give me explanations, I skip all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. It's like, do you remember when phones used to come with instruction manuals?
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. God, wow.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Those were
the
days.
They don't even come with charging cables anymore.
Literally.
Wow.
Oh, man. Well, I guess that's sort of all the questions that we have planned. I guess what I did want to say was I was doing a little bit of research in preparation for this episode. And what I found interesting was that the gamification doesn't just come through in terms of, you know, you have to create a profile and then you do this stuff. But it comes through because dating apps are developed to reward us with, I think it's dopamine. Did have it there at some point, but it's like it's a behavioral reward system. So the swiping is the thing that gives you the nice chemicals in your brain,
right.
Not the matching necessarily. Although that's a massive ego boost. Like so many people are on dating apps just so they can get that like lunchtime. Yeah. Oh, someone likes me.
Yeah,
I didn't even think of the entire element of developers making these apps to specifically be addicting or specifically be.
Yeah.
Like you say, you know, invoking certain emotions. I didn't even think of that. That makes everything so much more terrifying.
Yeah. The dating app is created by a tech developer who wants you to spend as much time on this app as possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's perhaps why Hinge went with the tagline of the dating app made to be deleted.
Yeah.
It's like, clever.
That is clever, yeah.
Clever. But, like, I think it's interesting that, and perhaps it's a very modern thing, you know, everyone since the dawn of time has been like, romance, that would be nice. No, it would be nice to have another human or multiple humans. I don't know. And then we've all gone around looking for connection and those types of connections in certain ways. And the ways and the options that we've had available to us to find them has changed over the years. Mm. But now, in the year of our pandemic, 2022, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. So we download this app, which is meant to help us make connections, but the app itself is designed to just make us feel good when we swipe and when we get the matches, not necessarily, although, like, it depends on the algorithm. Some algorithms, apparently, Tinder's algorithm is based on, okay, the profiles that gets the most interactions and yeses, they are seen and preferenced, whereas on Hinge, it's like, no, we have noticed that you like people who choose this prompt and answer in this way or have photos with this composition or have, like, these sorts of things in their data.
Yeah.
So we'll show you more of them.
Okay.
But even so, it's like, you know, like social media most of the time just makes us feel lonelier. And it's the same when it comes to dating apps.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, because dating apps allow us, this is a really long monologue, but I swear there is actually a question in this. Because they allow us to meet people that we otherwise would never have met. And like I've gone on dates and really enjoyed getting to know people and like dating them with people that I would never have met.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and probably wouldn't have even considered otherwise.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
But, like, I guess, do you feel that it's actually one of those things where, oh, it's a great idea, and unfortunately, it just doesn't quite do the thing that we made it to do? Or it's just like, nah, this is another way that we're looking for connection in all the wrong places?
That's such an interesting question because dating apps have been around for so long. They just used to be dating websites, obviously. Yeah. Like
And then before that, it was personal ads and newspapers.
Yeah, exactly.
And then before
the
that,
Pina Colada song.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Exactly.
So catchy, and yet when you actually listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh,
these people are both cheating on each other.
This is such an unhappy marriage. They need to get divorced. Yeah. Like this is.
Yeah, so I think, like, along with everything else, the internet has given us the opportunity to find potential partners in the most convenient way possible. I'm not really sure where I'm going with this, but, I feel like it's...
Free, what's that thing? Where you train of thought. Free word association. Oh, my goodness. My brain, she has shut off for the day.
Fair. Whoopsies. Very fair. Yeah, no, I feel like it's just one of those things that now is like so convenient. Like, how are people looking for a real connection? And is that the most appropriate place to be doing? I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, if you're on a dating app, you almost know what you're getting in for. Most of my friends who are in committed relationships have found their person on dating apps. So obviously it's there and obviously it's a possibility, but it's also one of those things where it's like, okay, if you spent a year going through shit trying to find this one person. So I don't know. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. Ooh. For some reason, what I'm thinking of is when you get that connection with someone on these dating apps and you have like genuinely engaging and stimulating conversations with them over this text for like a week or two, and then you keep planning on to meet up and go on a date or whatever, and then nothing happens. That's kind of like the entire hero's journey of this feels amazing. I'm got a crush on someone all the way back to I'm lonely and I will die alone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
So somewhere in between to answer your question.
Yeah. Fair. I think I wonder to what extent, I don't know the answer. I'd have to read a lot more studies on psychology and like data analysis on dating apps and things.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much of our behavior influences dating apps and how much the way that we behave on dating apps influences our behavior and the way that we like create our expectations around it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Well, it's almost like another form of social media, really.
Totally.
Oh, it absolutely is. I'm pretty sure that's like what it classifies as.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And now we shall move into the Things I've Never Said segment, where we accept anonymous submissions and confessions from our listeners on the topic we discuss.
I love this.
Oh, it's so good. This is my favorite section. Like, I love talking to people and having the conversations. But
yeah.
When I am able to bring listeners in and like, it feels like a community, you know?
Yeah,
and
for
I really,
sure.
I love that. Our first submission for today is, why is it so much harder to book people in for a date? All of a sudden, everyone just wants to chat.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was just talking about. I got a bit ahead of myself. I don't know. There's no stakes when you're just talking over text on an app that you can just block this person. And I think that kind of is it. There is no stakes.
Yeah, there's no stakes and there's no obligation and there's no, like, there's very little effort that you have to put into it.
Yep.
Yeah. I've heard that the kids are now calling behaviors linked to this as hesitating.
I love
Iconic.
It.
Iconic.
Yeah. Where it's like, it's almost a curiosity thing. So people are on the dating apps because, you know, we love a little bit of an ego boost.
Yes.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But they will sit there and they'll think, oh, maybe I will, but probably not. So I'll just, you know, and they don't, to a certain extent, I don't think anyone actively goes on there and goes, let me waste someone's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but well, I think maybe they aren't completely honest with themselves around what they actually want and if they're actually prepared to, you know,
commit to doing a date or following through.
Yeah,
I'm guilty of this.
For sure.
It's just like when I go through cycles of like 6 months of having the apps, 6 months of not.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah.
You go through like a rash of, okay, I have the app, I have matched with this many people and I'll like, as with most things, it'll be like seasonal. So it'll be like, okay, I have a dating app and now I've gone on 3 dates a week for the past 6 weeks and now I'm exhausted and I have narrowed it down to 2 contestants.
Yeah.
I can't end the rotation, you know?
It's our own little personal bachelor.
Yeah. And then I slowly like grow bored with the app and then like, okay, I'm done. And then those sort of like connections, you know, they end in one way or another, or sometimes we become friends. I'm like, yeah, cool. And I'm good for now. Cycles out and happens all over again.
Yeah. And oh, then, yes. I was just about to say that I'm a shitty person. When I have these apps on my phone, I totally find myself in the same way that I would mindlessly scroll through Instagram or Twitter, swiping. Mindlessly swiping.
Yeah.
And I know that that's shitty and that the intention is to waste time, not to go on a date with someone. Mm. But it's like a compulsion. I can't stop.
Well, that's that behavioral training that they're giving you, you know? I think it's the premise and the behavioral psychology theory that Pavlov's dogs is based off of or helped found.
Yep.
So that thing where, so Pavlov was this, I think he was Dutch, and he was this behavioral psychology scientist person. And he had this thing where he would ring a bell and then give his two dogs steak.
Yeah.
And so he'd do that all the time, and then he ran some tests, and then after a while it happened that the dogs would salivate whenever they heard the bell ring, even when steak was not presented to them, because they had been trained to associate the ringing of that bell with being fed and this delicious steak.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And that's, I suppose, why we feel emptier, because we go in with the ding happens and we're like, oh my God, someone's matched with me.
Yeah.
And then it's not actually like a legit match or someone who we would like to pursue this with. So it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fair. Yeah, true. Because it's always like almost like levels of gatekeeping.
Mm.
Like first you have to swipe on them, then they have to match with you. And then it's at that point that you have to like more seriously be like, okay, now we have to talk.
Mm.
Like
I think
a whole new level of judgment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of effort.
I think this, to answer this person's question, it's a mix of all this. And it's also a mix of the longer you and a person talk over text in these apps, the less likely the chances are that you'll actually meet up on a date are.
Absolutely. Like you have to grab that impetus. That's actually one of the tips that they give on the apps, I think. Like try and get off the app and onto text or something else as quickly as possible. And then from there, make a date.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of like if you're talking for a week before you try and organize a date, there's no questions left and you feel like you both know each other and know everything that you need to know, and then it fizzles out.
I mean, that's really – see – for me, as someone who's extremely anxious, and I feel like it's probably, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but it pertains to me as a woman, I'd be like, I would want to know as much about someone as possible and spend as much time as I need talking to someone like via text or whatever before I met up with them to sure that I would feel safe
That's
and comfortable.
A sweet spot.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But if you already, if you had zero questions left to ask this person in person, sitting at a table with them, having coffee for like 2.5 hours, would you feel less inclined if you already had all the answers to all the questions you wanted to know?
I wouldn't, but it would depend on how they answered the questions. If we were having genuine conversation, I was really enjoying it, I would be like, yeah, I'd be happy to go and talk in person and
See if there's something
yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But if they had shitty answers and I was just texting them back because I felt guilty,
it was like,
then I'd be like,
blue.
Okay, it's not happening.
Oh, yes.
Like one word answers.
Yeah, exactly. One word answers, not really interesting answers, and also no questions that they ask
literally.
You.
Yes.
And then when they do ask you a question, and if you don't answer in 5 minutes, it's just question mark.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah. Ways to shit me off in literally. 5 seconds.
Literally.
Oh my God.
Truly.
Like smash cut to me texting Maddie, and if I don't get a response, question mark. It's different with friends, guys. It's fine.
It's a different relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah. So our second submission is about dating apps. I wish people would abandon the flippant, sarcastic tone in their bios. Very rarely is someone as hard-bitten in real life as in their bios, but still. The conversation that follows is tantamount to trying to win over a comedy audience that has decided they don't like you from the outset.
Iconic.
That's truly iconic. Hard agree.
Yeah, same.
I think people are scared of being sincere.
Yes.
Mm.
And it's either you're sincere and you're seen as cringe, or you're doing this comedy act that no one wants to be in the audience of. And there's kind of no in between ever on these apps.
Or it's just so bland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exactly, just like, exactly, I know nothing about you. In 8 photos and 8 more prompts and questions and a voice note, I know nothing about you at all.
Yeah. It's like a brick wall. A straight white cis man screaming jokes at you.
Yeah.
Most of the time,
or
not even good
jokes. Or a
sincere
person. Yeah.
That's one of my other petty rejection reasons is that they include memes in their profile and they're not even good.
Yeah.
I didn't come here
to
look at memes. You know, if you want to make a funny, then please do that in a question or something, or be creative about it. But don't send me... I'll talk about it later, but I've derailed this enough.
Okay. Well, just also side note, if it on the rare occasion there is a very good meme, there's no photos of the actual person.
Yeah, truth.
Yeah, well, it's all like a group shot or something. And you're so who am I talking to?
Yeah.
What? Speaking of, their profile, instead of answering a question, says, just ask.
How am I supposed to decide if I want to talk to you? If
The entire premise of the app is to match with people who you have similar interests with.
Yeah.
Why would I want to ask about those?
Yeah.
Go to what's your favorite TV show? Just ask. It's like, no, I want to know what your show is so that we can like vibe, you know? Yeah.
Oh, man. I agree.
It makes it an easy icebreaker too. Like if you know something about them going in, you can straight up be like, oh my God, I really like this as well.
How about that Game of Thrones finale?
Fuck, don't even. But yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, those profiles say to me, like, first off, the audacity. And second off, it's just like there is no clearer way that you could tell me that you are not prepared to put in any effort here.
Zero effort. Yes. Like, and a little bit of a narcissist.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like so uninterested. No, actually, you're right. It's a little bit like, you don't ask me. I'm amazing, but I won't show you how amazing I am. You have to work for it. It's like, what else am I doing here? Like digging through all of these random profiles of people in my area.
Yeah. Simply fuck off. That's my advice.
That's so funny.
And on that note, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you. I've had such a ball talking to you, and it's been really fun to, you know, have the lighthearted but also the more philosophical discussions around something which is so often memes.
Yeah.
This is true. Yeah. No, thank you so much for having us.
It's so nice to be on someone else's podcast. Yeah.
I mean, you're a delight, obviously. Stumble Through is a delight. You. And all of the questions were really fun.
They were.
I was
had a great time.
Out of my mind today. I don't know what was going on. So sorry for that.
That's okay. No, don't apologize. I feel like it's the ideal mindset to approach this episode. Like, let's be honest.
Iconic.
But no, this has been so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us. It's always
and
fun.
And for putting in all the effort of making questions.
I know. Goodness.
It always makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
Oh, sucks. Thanks, guys. Well, I guess, you know, to round it out, first thing I'm going to ask, what would you do if you knew 10,000 people would do the same?
My answer is really, it's so bland.
Excellent.
I would invest in shares.
Iconic.
Okay, but how? This is going to be another, a future episode because I do want to do investing, but I also know that I have to do, required readings beforehand. And
I feel like this is the benefit of knowing 10,000 people are going to invest after you. There's no reading necessary. Because you're like, it's obviously clever. Value is going to go up because 10,000 people more are buying.
Amazing. Will GameStop this shit?
Exactly.
God, that was last year. Great answer. My answer, low-key, it's the same as your episode with Liz Best.
Oh.
Which is my favorite episode, by the way.
Oh, both of
your podcasts
you.
I love. So it's obviously a great episode. Sex. Listen to my podcast.
Yes.
10,000 people love that. But my real answer would be I would make 10,000 people actually think about their communities and actually think about their neighbors and stuff.
His was thoughtful. Mine was about making money.
My entire brain is taken up by constantly thinking about the fact that as humans, so many people don't care about their community and so many people don't care about when you're voting, think about people less privileged than you.
Yeah.
Think about people of different ethnicities and sexualities and everything and just be like, consider it. Yeah. I know it fucking infuriates me.
Yeah.
When you're voting, when you're, you know, thinking about whether or not to get vaccinated, everything, it's don't be fucking selfish.
Yeah, or at least like have a level of self-awareness and interest in your community and realize that, you know, much like who's that famous English I'm pretty sure it was Dylan Thomas who said that no man is an island, you know?
Like
we may feel and in Western culture we're all very hyper individualist, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is that there is no way that you could do anything in your life without the help of other people, be that seen or unseen.
Yeah.
Like, how did you feed yourself this morning? There were people involved in making the food, in making the raw produce, in delivering that food, in like helping you to earn the money to pay for it. Like we are so tightly interconnected that sometimes I think we just don't realize.
Kind of related. I had a recent, the business next to me is cloth nappies, and she was recently talking about how people think that like plastic nappies are so much more convenient because obviously they're single use. You just do it, throw it away, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, whereas obviously cloth nappies, you have to wash it afterwards. And she was like, except people don't realize that there's actually way more effort that's going into those single-use nappies because of everything that had to have happened before then for them to get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is completely unrelated, but also kind of related.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Be considerate of your community and people when you're doing stuff like that, using single-use stuff. It's like everything like that. I don't know.
All right.
Sorry,
this just brings up my guilt because I just know that I would just use single use nappies though. Yeah. Like it's just one of the things that I will go out of my way to do like, okay, I will get the bags, I will get the straws, I will bring the containers, I will cut down and I will like drive that extra little bit to get the, you know, to go to the Whole Foods store place and bring my jars and do that. But I'm not about to be handling small towelettes of human shit.
Literally.
And putting that in my washing machine. I can't. I'm sorry, Mother Earth. I just can't.
No, I'm on the same page as you. I'm still terrible and I flip between that train of thought where I'm like, I must be socially conscious and environmentally conscious. And then the other half of me is like, it's up to the top 10 corporations.
Look,
come on, get your shit together.
It is, but it's like, you know, that thing of, okay, well, do what you can when you can.
Exactly.
And, like, do what's sustainable to you, you know?
And frankly, don't feel guilty when you can't.
Mm.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm saying think about your community and the environment when you can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whatever conveniences you.
Be conveniently kind.
Yes,
please.
Exactly.
Oh, God. How quickly the message is watered down.
Oh, or made more accessible.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I love that. Oh. Marketing spin.
Hey. Well, do you guys have anything to plug and where can we find you? Obviously, there is What the Fuck is Happening podcast.
There is. What the fuck is happening? On socials, we're WTFIH podcast on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. I'm sure the links are below. I know the links are below.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't. Sorry, side note. Mm. I didn't send you the Harness Creation ones. I should probably send them.
One second, I'll put them in. I can find the links.
Okay, thank you. That's that on the podcast, Maddie.
Yeah. I mean, no need to worry about my personal things, but yes, my business. Whoops, if you happen to be in Southeast Queensland, Harness Creation, basically everywhere. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, our website, harnesscreation.com.au. That's that.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. What's if 10,000 people were doing what you did for?
For me.
Do you have a go-to answer or is it?
No, I don't. Very few people turn this back around on me. So I'm like, no. You're mistaken. If 10,000 people would do the same, I think that similar to Nick, I would want people to think about their communities. And I guess the practical application for that would be just check up on three people genuinely.
I love that.
If you have a passing conversation with your neighbors, you know, just see how they are. And maybe you can help, maybe you can't help, maybe it's just going to be like starting a conversation that you then have haphazardly every now and then. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when each of you go away, you bring in each other's bins so you don't get robbed. You know? It could be the start of something new and lovely.
I love it.
Oh, no. I'm about to break out into High School Musical. Quickly, we have to end.
That's okay.
The start of something new.
Thank you so much for coming on and thank you for listening. Thanks as always to Zane at That's Not Canon Productions. Graphics are by Claudia Piggott. Music is by Jessica Fletcher. And editing by Dominic Guilfoyle. If you stumbled upon us, don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It helps other people find us and makes me personally really happy. You can find us on Instagram at StumbleThroughPod and we do pep talks on stories every Sunday. Until next time, do your best and take care of each other. Chat soon.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.